Hi everyone, it's Kevin. Today is Friday, April 8th. In the last decade, two Navy ships were destroyed by fire. In 2012, the nuclear attack submarine Miami docked at the Portsmouth Naval Shipyard. And in 2020, the amphibious assault ship, the USS Bonhomme Richard, or BHR, docked in San Diego. Following these events, Naval Sea Systems Command identified some changes to improve the fire safety posture of the entire Navy. And these changes resulted in a new set of instructions to train crews on how to handle fire on ships, and particularly in maintenance availabilities. Here at EB, we're not contractually obligated to follow these new instructions, and those instructions are known as the 80-10 standard. But it's consistent with our core values of acting with integrity and purpose, and always in the spirit of doing the right thing. We conducted a major submarine fire drill last week aboard USS Hartford, which is docked in the Groton shipyard. Supporting this simulation, in addition to our firefighters, were our ECC personnel, our RERO responders, the ship's management team, ship's test personnel, and we had the City of Groton and Subbase New London personnel, the crew of the Hartford, and over 20 surrounding fire departments and other outside first responders helping us out. On today's podcast, I'm joined by our fire chief, Jeff Chandler. Jeff, it feels funny to call you Jeff. I'm always calling you Chief. Joined the company this past November, and he brought with him over 35 years of experience in fire and emergency services. Before EB, he worked for the state of Connecticut, carrying out a 20-year career with the DEEP, that's the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection, where he supervised hazardous materials emergency response unit. So, Chief, welcome to the podcast, and a belated welcome to Electric Boat. So let's talk about last week's drill and why it was important to go through this full-scale simulation.
Thank you, sir. It's definitely a pleasure to be here. So when a boat is out at sea, the sailors are trained to fight fires very, very quickly, very, very aggressively, obviously, because if they don't put the fire out quickly, then the whole boat is lost as well as the lives that are on that boat. So when they're in port here, though, it's a different availability. They have systems that are down because of maintenance. Like right now, the trim system is going to be going down any day now for the Hartford. So their ability to fight fire off of the onboard system is going to be diminished. We have some temporary hose reels that are going to be put into place. But they also have a limited staff on board, which is probably one of the more contributing factors, which was one of the issues that they had up the USS Miami, is that there was nobody that was walking the boat during the time frame of when the fire was actually set by that arsonist. And furthermore, they had issues where they were looking for the odor of smoke that they were trying to find mid-level. Ultimately, it turns out that they were down, actually, the fire was down in the lower level. And by the time they got to where the fire was and determined where it was, the fire was already well advanced. Couple that with a smaller crew, not a plan in place to operate as an integrated team with the Naval Shipyard personnel, definitely hampered efforts in why that fire got so out of control so quickly, and ultimately resulted in the loss of that vessel. So from those lessons learned, that's basically what we were trying to take care of during our last drill. We were working with ship's force. We had numerous drills directly with the Hartford personnel on how we are gonna advance hose lines from dockside off of our piers down into the boat so that we're operating on the same sheet of music. Additionally, we also worked with the command staff to make sure that we have the ability to communicate on the same language. The Navy has a different set of words for all the same things that we have in civilian firefighting. So we have to make sure that we're all on the same page, that when we're calling one item, talking about one item, we're actually talking about the same thing. So when we're the USS Bonhomme Richard, the BHR, that fire spread for nearly 2 hours unabated before the first firefighter crews from San Diego put water on those flames. And during that availability in that shipyard, 87% of the ship's detection, firefighting, and communication systems were not operational while in for that availability. Also, the history of training and readiness of ship's force personnel showed numerous failed drills. They weren't taking care of their cleaning up their own house. It's all in the report. And finally, the integration of the naval base firefighters and other civilian firefighters from outside have never been on side of a ship before. It was also a contributing factor. So our goal here at our drill was to abate all of those issues. We worked extensively with the Hartford. We worked extensively with our own personnel here in the shipyard, with ships management, with STO, with ECC. Got everybody on the same page so that we're all talking the same language and we have the ability to fight a fire on board. Bringing in mutual aid fire departments is a bit of an issue for us because, you know, we have a secured area. We have to get them down to where our submarines are and deal with security plans and all those issues. So security had a large role in implementing this drill as well. But we managed to pull off a successful drill in the fact that I wanted to ensure that we could put continuous water on the fire from the time that a first nozzle was open until we have quote-unquote extinguished the fire, which and the purpose of our drill was when all available firefighters that were on scene went into the hull, had their turn at staffing a nozzle, and then come back off board again once efficiently relieved on site. And we did that. We opened up a nozzle and it never had to be shut off again for the entire firefight. That was on two decks, lower level, mid level, and we had a third nozzle stage on the upper level, which is what we would do if there was an active fire on ship, to ensure that there's no fire extension up above. And we also searched for lost people on the boat in lights out conditions. So I think, if you will, if you have a situation where you have a firefighter that in a building fire, if you get lost as oriented, it can be somewhat of a scary event. But oftentimes you can find an exterior wall to a house and you can open up a window and get yourself out of harm's way. That is not the case, obviously, on a submarine. So we have issues there. Just picture going over to a friend's house that you've never been in before, turn off all the lights, and then walk from one side of the house to the other side of the house in pitch black without stumbling into something, without getting lost, without getting confused. That's basically what we're asking of our mutual aid fire department. So we're trying to work closely with them so that they have an understanding of shipboard firefighting as opposed to structural firefighting that they're obviously used to.
Okay. Well, and great description of what we did. So, and obviously we were at it for a couple hours to make sure that we were as thorough with the training as we could be. So let's talk a little bit about how we did from your perspective. What did we get right and what do we need to work a little bit differently?
What we did right is 130 firefighters and emergency response personnel showed up. 81 of those people spent time in hull, again, and we managed to successfully put water on the fire continuously. Particularly challenging was managing breathing apparatus, how much air time a firefighter can spend in hull. We learned from lessons from other drills that were happening around the country, and we brought in a system of cascade system and an air compressor system from mutual aid fire departments, that being Mystic and New London fire departments respectively. And at no point in time did we ever have an issue where after the person came out of the hull, dropped off their air cylinder, went to rehab, got fluids replaced and food replaced, and came back out, were they waiting for a cylinder. We had a continuous flow of air cylinders so that people could go right back to work if in fact we needed to do so.
Yeah, pretty interesting to watch too, because you realize even though it's a drill scenario, you're still asking people to don their full firefighting ensemble with breathing air, get down a submarine hatch, find the fire, fight it for a period of time, and then exit before they run out of air. And in some cases, we only had people on station, I think in all cases really, on station actually fighting the fire for only about 10 minutes at a time. So this is a pretty manpower intensive effort to fight a submarine based fire, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And the 10 minutes on station is simply because of that. You have anywhere varying from a 1 hour cylinder all the way down to a 30 minute cylinder, depending upon what particular cylinder or what style air pack that the fire department that came mutual aid to us actually wears. So you have to take that into consideration when you have firefighters that are now doing an integrated team. So Ships Force has a 45-minute cylinder, Electric Boat has a 30-minute cylinder, and the Old Mystic Fire Department, for instance, had a one-hour cylinder. You have to take the small cylinder into accommodation and make sure that everybody gets in. You're breathing air all the way to the fire, spend 10 minutes at the fire breathing air all the way until you're back out of the hatch again, and you have to make sure that they can do that without running out of air.
Yeah, and it's under stressful conditions too.
Exactly.
And imagine if there was a real fire, that would up the breathing rate of anybody put into that situation. So critical piece of importance of how to fight a fire on board a submarine. So let's talk about the other major component. One of the things that we did was we manned up our emergency control center for the drill, and that was a first. Normally, we're doing radiological controls type events. So this was a little bit different. Tell me a little bit about what we took away from that.
So we integrated with the ECC and also the RERO on-scene incident command staff, the guys that walk around with the meters, radiological monitors, make sure that we're operating in a safe atmosphere, that we do not have radiation escaping the boat when we're standing there pier side at the incident command post. That went very well. We have some lessons learned that we have to work on as far as getting information from the scene up to the ECC. But all in all, we had a very good working relationship. We staffed up a new position with the ECC, and now we now have a emergency services manager that's direct link for both fire and security, sitting as having a seat at the ECC, which is also going to enhance our ability to communicate.
Well, good. Thanks for that, Chief, and I appreciate the rundown. You know, and as I got to walk around as an observer for this drill, and I saw the on scene command aspects of it as well as the ECC command, and what struck me is that the importance of the communication between the ECC, where we normally have the center of gravity for a lot of the drills that we do, and that shifted a bit more toward the scene, and so that communication. And some of the lessons we learned from that just underscored how difficult these casualties are to fight and how coordinated we really need to be. And that's why we practice them after all.
Exactly. And you mentioned a first, you know, is a first as far as on numerous occasions here, first time that a private shipyard actually performed this drill, and as opposed to all the naval shipyards that have done similar drills. And this is the first time that we've actually integrated the ECC. The sub-base did a drill back last November, and which I was able to witness, and they did not stand up the ECC. They concentrated only on firefighting efforts, and we wanted to expand upon the firefighting efforts as well as the at-large incident that we would have to manage, that being the radiological aspect of things as well.
Well, and I appreciate that, Chief. It's good good you mentioned that, and this is the first drill of its kind in our history here at EB, and I'm pleased with the response. This certainly wasn't the ultimate in terms of our preparedness for fire. I think we're going to continue to prepare and be ready in the event we have a fire situation. And each employee who works on board a submarine has a role to play in making sure extinguishing agent gets put on that fire as quickly as we can, recognizing that any one of our employees should not put themselves in harm's way to fight anything significant. Leave it to the professionals to do that. But I'm overall pleased with the response. It put a light on areas that we can always focus on to improve. And overall, our ability to bring people in from all over the area, our mutual aid fire companies in particular, while continuously fighting this fire inside the boat, was really an objective that was well achieved. And I know a lot of work went into doing this drill and all the steps along the way to tabletop and then actually end up doing a full-blown drill like we did. So I want to say thanks to you and your team and anyone who was involved in preparing us to be successful in fighting a major fire. Before I close out today's podcast, I want to remind everyone that this Sunday, April 10th, is the day each year we pause to remember the loss of the USS Thresher and the 129 crew and civilian riders on board. I encourage you to read the home port story on this tragedy, which was written by Steve Kirkup in our quality organization. In it, Steve describes what happened and the lessons learned that continue to drive our priorities every day at Electric Boat: safety, quality, schedule, cost, and continuous improvement in that order. Every one of us has responsibility to keep our sailors top of mind, and that is our higher purpose. So please take a moment, remember the sacrifices made by those aboard Thresher, and keep that memory alive as you create submarines for the sailors who call them home for decades to come. Thanks, everyone. We'll talk again soon.